Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Coach Ian, thanks so much for joining the podcast for the third year in a row.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
For the third year in a row.
I always like to reminisce a little bit, and I look at, remember the first podcast we did in the other studio?
Yeah, I do.
It was probably the first time I ever talked about field hockey.
Okay, and now you've learned.
Now I've learned, like, I'm a fan. I'm just so, you know, listen, I've been spoiled. The last 2 years we've done this, we won two state titles, one FCAC title. It's been really a good run. Talk about this last couple of years here for you and how it's been.
Yeah, I mean, to be expected last year, I think, because of the people we had in the squad. The year before, I think we were still highly ranked, so we were expected to do well. But with the girls I've had over the last 2 years, it's been a real treat for me as a coach. And the staff I had working with me and seeing how those kids grew through the program in those 2 years. It's been great. I mean, you can't surpass last year. There's no way. I think it's really hard to surpass what we did last year. But we keep striving, and we'll see what happens this year.
Were we undefeated last year?
Say again?
Were we undefeated last year?
We lost the one game in the national tournament to Camden Catholic.
That's right, at the tournament. We have to count that, I guess.
But FCX we were, yeah.
FCX and States, it was a really good year.
It was a great year. Great run.
Yeah, and I always feel like, you know, I get asked a lot, like, you know, about, you know, the players you watch, this and that, and I have to say that, you know, the last 2 years watching Tyler and Sophia and, you know, Emma play, probably the best athletes I've seen so far.
Absolutely.
All around.
I don't think any coach can be blessed with having that amount of talent on the field at the same time, you know, and they've gone on to Sophia to play at Duke, Tyler to play at Stanford, Emma to play at UConn. And we're having to fill that gap.
Yeah, and that's like a leading question to fill in a gap, right? I mean, we're recording this. You're kicked off the season yesterday. You won 1-0 against Greenwich. But how do you fill the gap? What's the team like this year? Talk to me a little bit about that.
We got a ton of talent. I like the challenge as a coach of having to be given a fresh palette of colors and then to create something. We are asking a lot of players to play in different from positions from where they either played at club or for Staples last year. So playing Greenwich in the first game was not a game I wanted to play because they've been our nemesis for years. Darien has always been our biggest derby game, but Greenwich have always been a nemesis. For some reason, they just play well against us. So having to fit those pieces is a challenge and something I look forward to. But having to fit those pieces initially in your first game against Greenwich is a tough one. And it was a tough game yesterday, for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, a tough game. And I know, and you know, you're so successful, so you're going to be always hard on your team. But still, to get a result like that, you got to be happy.
Oh, it's a huge W. Nobody worries about the score or what the game is like, you know, when you look at the results at the end of the year. But, again, we got some... stuff that goes on at Ginny, which I like to call the fortress. We practice on one of the best turfs in the Northeast. 50% of our games are played on field turf, football turf, so we have to adapt to that. But when teams come to Ginny with the field itself and with the you know the the people that come out and watch at home, it's a tough place to play on. So it's not only winning the game, but it's also trying to maintain a record. You know,
I always feel like Ginny is a weird in a good way with that wall back there. It's intimidating.
It is. When we normally like to play the second half towards the crowd,
mm-hmm.
because that we're in a situation at halftime where we know where exactly where we are. Yesterday that didn't happen because we lost the toss. So we, again, that might have something to do with the result. So we were playing away from the crowd in the second half, which doesn't normally happen. But I mean, it's all subconscious. It happens that we play well to the crowd, and it's always in the second half. And the crowd there, the design of the seats isn't such that anybody can really see the field. So everybody has to get up and get as close to that railing as possible. So it's pretty intense.
It is fun. And I will probably want to throw it out there that Greenwich did probably a little bit of gamesmanship by picking that side.
Yes. I mean, if they've done their research, I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea.
Well, it's part of it. I mean, you know, as I cover high school sports more and more, you realize that, you know, yourself and most of the coaches here, you don't just go to these games unprepared. There's a lot of research that goes into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we also knew the players that Greenwich had. We also knew, I think I'm right in saying that of the squad they had, I think 20 were seniors and 2 were juniors.
Okay.
So just the mere physicality that our freshmen had to endure was such that it was a shocker for them too. And these are experienced players on the Greenwich team.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So again, there's a lot of stuff that was factoring against us in that game, but the W is great.
Right. And it's like, it's interesting, you know, yesterday we had kind of the opposites. You were at Ginny and you won a close game. Girls soccer, you know, struggled, you know, as they rebuild as well. And, you know, you look at something like this, the result is, but it kind of, I felt like the win yesterday kind of set the FCAC down, because everybody, you know, anybody who watched it knows how much you lost, how much talent you lost. So they're thinking, is this the year we're going to get Staples? And I think that yesterday we kind of sent a message, not so fast.
Right, yeah. I mean, I hope so. I mean, I think for the people who were there who watched, they knew that we were under a lot of adversity during the game. It was we had to defend really well. Paige in goal was superb. She got my MVP. And Ella, who played fullback in front of her, did equally as well. So it was actually my worry going into the season was that our defense wasn't as strong as it should be. So playing that game has proved to me that it's good, it's solid. So I can then probably concentrate on other areas, which again, I mean, it benefits us from having such a tough game.
Right. Well, you just said that, which kind of seemed to be the same theme than last year. Remember we sat here and you talked about how we're going to defend this year. And, you know, I think 2 years ago, the first state championship that I covered, you know, you had Tyler playing up front, and then you, like, because it's a club, and then you moved her back, which is kind of her club position in the back. And then this year you got Ella in the back. How do you continue? You mentioned that to adjust these players that play a different position, they come in high school, they're asked to do something different. How do you do that, and how do they adjust to that?
I think during preseason and initial tryouts, when we see these guys play, we obviously put them in the places that we think we want them in our system.
Mm-hmm.
They can learn somewhat from that, but the issue is that they're playing in a non-competitive environment, right? They're playing with their own people. They get it by being involved in it and seeing it. It's a visceral reaction to the competition that Greenwich gave us yesterday. I know that when we go to practice today, day after, they've got that actual expertise and they've actually experienced it firsthand. So they'll know how to react and they will have looked at video.
Yeah.
Girls, you will have looked at video, right? So yeah. Then they can see. And let's put it this way. At the beginning of the games, it's like a chessboard for me, because if people aren't doing what they need to be doing, I have to shout, get them to move, get them to go back left, right. Other players on the team should be telling them to do that because they see where the issues are. It hasn't happened yet, but they'll get it. They'll definitely get it.
And, you know, with high school, you mentioned in the beginning, you said, you know, it's kind of like I'm getting in a fresh canvas here. I can kind of do little things and change it around. You mentioned it's kind of fun, but how challenging is it to every year, well, not every year, but most years, kind of have to rebuild from scratch?
I like the challenge. As I said, it's a great part of coaching. I've been lucky in as much as the challenges always seem to work out. I remember my first year, I think we first year was building. I had to find out what the players were like, what I had. I had a lot of lacrosse players who were fantastic athletes, so I had to kind of make it a more basic kind of game, you know, push and run, basically. Push and run as opposed to possess. So when I found out that that was the best, most effective thing, we did very well the next year. We won the state championship with Darien the next year. So things obviously worked. I like that challenge. But the challenge I like is identifying the issues that we have, identifying the personalities of the players we have, identifying the skill set that they have, and putting it all together and coming up with a very competitive team, which we seem to have done over the years.
And how did you come about? I don't know if you have. How did you come about becoming head coach at Staples? What's the story behind that?
I was asked to help with the curriculum for the town program. I worked in South Norwalk at the time, so I was finishing at about 3:30. And when I went to have that meeting, I was told that the head coach had quit. And that meeting was a couple of months before the season began. So I realized that the time I had available was the same. Living in Fairfield, working in South Norwalk, Ginny was easy. So it was a great opportunity that I took.
Yeah, and I know that you are in your club. You coach. Is it with the Greens GFA coach? Is that what you guys?
Yeah, Liz Schulein is the head coach at Greens Farms. So luckily, last year we had the state championship, and she won the NEPSAC Group C championship. She's great to have around. They've got some great kids over there, and my club is, you know, we're local. We have a few players in it, quite a few players in Staples coming through the town program, and enjoy every minute. And Liz has been a champion for the club throughout. She's great.
And I know you guys scrimmaged each other this year. How did it go?
Yeah, she didn't like it.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. She doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But I always find it interesting because, you know, the coaching, you know, I call it, you know, the coaching circle around, you know, especially here in Western Connecticut, like you guys all know each other.
Right.
Right, but then it still gets very competitive in the field.
Oh, it's incredibly competitive.
Right, but then you shake hands afterwards and all good?
Well, maybe.
depending who you're coaching against,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so much fun. I think, you know, like I mentioned in the beginning, watching you guys play Flash has been a joy. You know, it's been so much fun and so great. You mentioned the surface at Ginny, and you've referenced that quite a few times in our interviews, and I wanted to just go back and talk about that. The football, is it the height of the football, the turf, or how is that so different? Is the Ginny more of a carpet? Can you explain that just to, you know, to us?
Yeah, it's the, we play on the ground, so we want the ball to travel fast, and we want the ball not to be restricted by the blades of fake grass, as it were. The pile on Ginny is very short. It's very tight. Right. It's not even a quarter of an inch. And that makes the ball run truer, run quicker. We also make sure that the pad underneath is conducive to restricting injuries. And so that's passed all its muster. And we actually have a silica base. It's filled with silica, which is basically sand base of little nodules. So I think the town issued a bylaw when we were getting the field put in that no further fields will have crumb rubber or, you know, the black stuff.
I do remember that, yeah.
Which is the best move that was ever made. I mean, it's we go and play in Trumbull, no disrespect to Trumbull, but we're playing on their football field that is more black than green. It's got all that infill. It makes it a quicker game for us. When it's wet, it's even quicker. It's the stage below what international hockey and college hockey is played at, which is a saturated wet AstroTurf, and the turf is saturated by four or six hoses at the beginning of the game and at halftime, which, if you can imagine, makes it a lot slicker.
Right.
And the actual ball looks like a golf ball with the dimples in it, so it runs even faster over the surface. So we have a turf at Westport that is second to none for the girls, and is probably the envy of most high schools that come and play against us. I mean, when they walk, there's a wow factor when you come down to Ginny, for sure.
They're like, God, this is the greatest thing. And then you mentioned a thing that Barry from Girls Soccer mentioned on the podcast earlier about difference between, you know, some sports where the ball is not on the ground. Soccer is one, you know, because we were talking about, and I asked VJ this, you know, how, you know, Ginny is a great condition. Then you got Loeffler, who's been left to die back there, you know, and then you got the baseball field. and I keep saying it, like you just mentioned how special, you know, that wall is and the fans up there and how that plays a factor into everything that goes into it in the soccer programs, losing that because Loughborough, they can't use that surface.
Right.
So to, you know, to your point, it's like having a surface, having a sport where lacrosse, the ball is played on, you know, on the air. It's never on the ground. Most times it's on the air. So it makes a huge difference.
Right.
So that you get that advantage, and that's a good thing that we have that in town.
Oh, yeah, and also I'd add that the lacrosse girls seem to really enjoy Ginny too, and it, you know, again, it's played in the air more often than on the ground, but ground balls are easy to pick up on our turf.
Right, you totally see that.
Yeah,
you totally see that. They scoop it right up because it's like I said, it's true to what it is. It's not an uneven surface where the grass, I mean, does field hockey ever played on grass or no?
Not now. No. I mean, I think there are high schools, you know, in the back of beyond somewhere that they still have to. Funding, I think, is probably the biggest issue there. But
that's rough, huh?
Well, I grew up playing on grass, you know, when years ago in England.
But, you know, is it like soccer-style grass? Because no, England is like, a good job. I think it's a good job in England with the grass.
Yeah, they're like, you know, we used to play bowls. I mean, I don't know if they're bowling greens in England where you basically it's like skittles, right? And it is pristine. They're like carpets. So the fields that we played on in England were very well kept, and they were like carpets. And actually, it was good to play on when it was a good turf, but field rather. But we've had turf for the longest time now.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I think like if it's, you know, if you can get really good grass, it's at least for some sports it's still the best because it's easier on the knees or whatever. But if you get quality turf, like for the for hockey that you have, it's probably the ideal thing to do.
Yeah, but it's also a cost issue, right? And it's also a, you know, everybody knows that Canadian geese are always over the grass over here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows that to upkeep a grass field is very expensive. And everybody knows that if it rains, you can't play on it.
God, you know, it's, you talk about closing fields. For many years, I ran the, was the rec director for soccer, for the rec league, right? And I can't tell how many Saturdays we lost because of rain. Rain a little bit and it's over.
Right. And again, I mean, we would have lost time because of grass. But, you know, the other point that we'll bring up is we're losing time because of lights.
Another point I've brought up a couple of times that, you know, there should be lights at ever. We go to most high schools and they all have lights.
Right.
And then you can play those games at night and get more fans there. I'm sure the parents would love it. You know,
yeah,
I would love it.
Yeah, not to mention that the kids in town can come down and play until the sun goes down.
Yeah. And also you talk about crowds and I've, you know, as prep zone, we've had a, you know, good relationship with the super fans, all those accounts. And they always talk about this a kid leaves school about 2:45, whatever time they're it's tough for them to come right back around and go to a 4 o'clock game.
Right.
Because they're just trying to decompose and get some things done. If it's a 7 o'clock, that's the advantage of basketball and football. Those guys play at night. They get the crowds because it's like, you know, then it's a go out.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Dads and moms are back from work.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody's back, right?
Right.
That's right. Well, now, why don't you ever play a night game at a... Have you ever talked about playing a night game at the football stadium, or it's not something you're interested at all?
Turf is not suitable to hockey. We used to have senior games there because it would guarantee more people coming out, but it's not... We can't play on that stuff.
No, it's not for you, huh? No. Listen.
Nice try. We can't do it.
Nice try. Right, because I think lacrosse does one a game a year, right? They go out, and that's where I was going with. I know they do it, but again, it's a different sport. Keeping the ball up. Now, let's talk about you a little bit. This year, you got great honor. You're going to coach the national team. Over 55. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I had the honor of playing for U.S. Masters 3 times. I played in Rotterdam, Barcelona, and Tokyo. I hung up my playing boots. I'm 67 now, although most people think I'm a lot younger.
I would think you're a lot younger too.
And I had the opportunity to coach men. I mean, it's different for me because I've only ever coached girls. I knew that a World Cup would involve travel. I was hoping for Argentina or New Zealand, but we're actually going to Belgium.
But that's lovely.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And the challenge, again, it's the challenge. We've got 21 out of our 35 signups who are East Coast based to a certain extent, and the rest are out in the West Coast in California. So the issue now I have is to try and get these people to see these people, to see them play, and eventually come up with a squad by January, February next year. But the challenge is something I relish. I've already met some of them. We did a training session at Amherst a few weeks ago. And yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's incredible, right? I remember when you mentioned to me, I'm like, man, you're going to coach a World Cup.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I mean, it sounds
congratulations.
Good.
Yeah.
It sounds good. I remember when I played in Rotterdam, there were, you know, every nation was, basically most nations were represented, and it was from over 35s through over 65s. Who were there. I remember the Ghanaian national team singing songs in the stadium so everybody could listen. I bumped into friends there who had known in New York who had gone back to Holland, who I hadn't seen for 25 years. It's a wonderful festival.
Yeah, you got to promise us to take some shots so we can post some preps on
Sinovo. Oh, sure, definitely.
It's going to be great. I mean, it's just like, I always feel like, is coaching an Olympic team something you ever has ever been on your mind?
It would never happen. I'm too old.
Hey, I'm the Fed. Don't ever say never. I mean, look, I mean, I'm in my late 40s and starting, you know, from scratch here.
Right,
so it's
true.
Like,
yeah.
You know, because you just never know, right? I mean, with this success, I mean, we're going to wish you so much success in that. I think it's going to be so great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And I also, you know, staying on the subject, talking about you a little bit, I know that we had some discussions this year about, you know, numbers and clubs and getting players to come. And I get asked a lot about it, and I'll give you my perspective and I'll ask yours.
Right.
You know, I've had two kids who went through clubs, who then played high school, and I thought they were extremely beneficial to the growth of the kids, right? Because I felt like they were, you know, first of all, it's like you got to do what you love, right? And some kids just love to play that single sport, so it gives them that avenue. But I also feel like some people come to me and say, well, why do you talk about it? Because, you know, they're doing this and this is hurting. I said, I don't think so. You've coached, you know, so many different levels, World Cups, all that. What is your feeling on how club sports work versus the high school sports work, and how, you know, and how that is going in your opinion?
I think kids should play as many different sports as possible for as long as they possibly can. The decision that's driving a lot of families in Fairfield County is college. In order to get into college D1, you've got to make a pretty early decision about which sport you favor. D3, you can play two. It's not as difficult, and you don't have to commit. You don't have to commit to your junior year. So I think families are forced into a false pretense that we have to concentrate on one sport at a very early age. Ellie Fair, who used to play at Staples, who was a captain of my hockey team, was captain of three teams at Staples. She managed to get it all in. She was captain of field hockey. She was captain of basketball. And she played lacrosse and field hockey at Trinity, D3. I understand that it's difficult. I understand that American society, college is basically the be-all and end-all of a lot of stuff that happens here. But I think encouragement of playing multiple sports is paramount. We've got a little bit of an issue in Westport right now, numbers for our freshmen. We only had 10 at the beginning of the season. I think a lot of that has to do in people at, you know, who are at middle school and families at middle school thinking, well, I've got to go this way or that way because it's going to influence what my kids do and how I might be able to get into college at middle school. I think it's even happening there. I would encourage people to make a decision on which way they want to go in a sophomore year of high school. Everything else can be fitted in. I think clubs are too demanding of players in terms of time. They are too restrictive in allowing opportunities elsewhere with a different sport. And I don't think it's a good thing. I really am against it. The numbers for our freshmen were low. I think we have to do a better job of advertising the sport, and we can't rest on our laurels because the numbers, the enrollment at schools hasn't changed. So the kids are still there. So there's something fundamental that has to be done to encourage this multi-sport psychology within families. I really do.
And it's what you just said is exactly what the football coach Maddie came here. He said the same thing, because I asked him and he said, you know, a lot of times, you know, football gets a lot of the lacrosse guys, right? And he goes, right in the middle of the season, you know, one of these football players might leave to play a lacrosse tournament. And he's totally fine with that. And he said, well, would I rather have that player for maybe like 75% of the time or 0% of the time? I'll take 75% of the time,
right,
any day.
Right, because they're that good athlete, right?
Right, he's an athlete. So I think that, you know, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because, you know, we get a lot of parents that listen to us, watch us, right? And I think for them to get inside ahead of someone like yourself, who's been a coach for so long, won so much, it's key for them to make a decision.
Yeah, I do. I think that there needs to be a little more guidance. There's a big FOMO. There's a big FOMO issue, you know, fear of missing out.
Right.
It's prevalent in Fairfield County. And I know that parents sometimes will pay twice as much to go and play at one club than another because they think that that route is going to make it the difference. It doesn't. It just doesn't. I would urge them to research, find out from other parents who have been through the process, and then make a decision, because there's a lot of good information out there, and the historical facts are there. You know, you can tell by how we've graduated kids from the Staples program in any sport, you know, that find out what their path to getting there was before you actually make a decision.
Yeah, I look at people's paths, right? And there, I sometimes say it. I got so many stories, but I want to probably say it's like last year, we had one of the linebackers of the football team. We ended up going to Division I. But he was playing, you know, very early in the ages, like Westport, Pal, whatever that was. And he wasn't even playing much at all in the sport he was playing, right? And then he got to high school, he switched sport, and he becomes a star. Now he's got a Division I, you know, play. You just never know. Like, no, you said, sophomore, that's a very, because as freshmen, the kids are just, they're adjusting to everything. They don't know what they're like.
No. I welcome somebody playing on my team who will give me 100% effort and commitment in field hockey. And they suddenly say, look, I'm going the lacrosse route. I hope it's not, you know, I hope we don't fall out over it. But at least they've experienced field hockey up to then, right? They've had the opportunity to find out and make a decision based on more opportunity.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like I said, you are a club coach. And you're the one that's saying, hey, look, try new things and do all that. And that's encouraging, because I think you're putting the kids, you know, well-being and opportunities above everything else.
Right, and I also don't think we're as demanding where I am. I think, you know, our big clash season, as it were, is spring, because lacrosse comes into it. And I always say, look, if you can make one practice a week, I don't care. But you can't tell me that traveling 3 miles to go to Wakeman or to go to Greens Farms for practice is getting in the way. You right. Can't tell me that. It just doesn't work. I mean, we're giving you opportunity. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. Try everything, because life's going to go by so fast.
Right. Right? It's a blip. It's an absolute blip.
Yeah. I look, you know, in this year, I have both kids in college. So it's like, and you know, you got older kids. So you're like, we feel like we missed it, and we would have done so many more things, wouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's also the thing I love about field hockey is if kids are coming into high school in the fall, right, from middle school, it's a huge, daunting prospect for a lot of them. Yet if they come into field hockey, the social side is right there for them. They're with these girls. They're meeting them pre-season, which is before they come into school. They've got helping hands all over the place. I listened to Barry the other day. I mean, you've got the whole of the hockey squad, as it were, not just varsity JV freshmen, has to embrace everybody in it, because then it's a successful program. And so that move from middle school into high school, which, as I said, is very daunting, It can be eased by the hockey community and try it. I mean, all I'm saying is try it.
Yeah, it's so point on, right? Because I find that the teams that do well, the programs that they continue to grow and do well, they have this program mentality where everybody's part of it, and no matter what team you're playing on. And I think, like, to a degree, a lot of the players feel that. The parents might not, but just because they're not day-to-day with the team, they just don't get it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, let's consider how much time we actually spend together as a field hockey team, right? We get together for preseason, which is 4 hours, 5 days, you know, preseason. We then have tryouts. and then I'll be with your daughter, whether you like it or not. You know, they've chosen to play field hockey.
Right.
I'll be with your daughter from 3 o'clock to probably 5:30, 5 days a week.
Yeah. And remember last year we did a little preview with the captains, right? With Tyler, with Sophie and Emma. And all the stories that came out of them when I talked to them were more about off-field stuff than on-field stuff.
Right.
It's crazy, right? I mean, that's their best memories. They're all things, is things that happen, you know, with friends and things outside. So I thought that was, it's very telling.
Yeah, and that's, they stay the best friends for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
For sure. And to me, that is the best social vehicle that is out there, that is available.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if I've told this story on air, but I'll tell you, when I moved from Brazil to Tennessee, so I got in, obviously playing Brazil, I knew how to kick a soccer ball, right? So they put me on the football team as a kicker, and, you know, whatever that was, but up to this day, I still talk and stay in touch with the guys that I met during that time. This was back in the early 90s, right? And the other day we were having a conversation. I said, you know, listen, it was great playing, but I remember the most is that I was a kid who didn't have any friends and I'm walking that school.
Right.
And I said, and after I left that field, I had like more than 60 guys who were including me at everything they were doing, were friends with me, and absolutely changed my experience 100%.
Right. And again, I will say that we've got freshmen who have appeared late. You know, they haven't made the volleyball team, or they suddenly got word of mouth after the fact that we've opened up registration for. They haven't touched a hockey stick in their life, right? And we are teaching them right now, and they are smiling down on the field, right? Which is more important to me, much more important.
It's I feel like being a part of something like that, it goes beyond the actual sport. It's a mental health issue. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about you're part of a tribe. You know, it's incredible.
Right.
So, like, if you're out there listening, you haven't, you know, give it a try.
Oh, for sure. Welcome you with open arms, yeah. For sure.
All right. Now, this season, so, again, beating Greenwich early on, big statement. But I know you're going to say, hey, win it all. But realistically, what is expectations for you for this season? What would you consider a successful season at the end of the year?
Appearing in both finals. FCAC and States. What's happened with FCAC this year is because of the people that have left, not only with us but also with Darien and other high schools. I think you'll find that there's not such a big gap between the playing level, skill level of the top five maybe FCAC teams. I think you'll see a lot closer, more competitive games throughout the season. I would be disappointed if we didn't make the finals of both.
Yeah, and that tournament is just about getting there. I mean, you get in that tournament, right? And then it's like it can go either way. But when you say top five, you're talking to me that I know, you know, Staples, Greenwich, Darien. What are the other teams?
Wilton. Ludlow this year.
Ludlow, okay.
Yeah.
So these teams are kind of eating up to you guys then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, last few years I've noticed it's like, you know, Staples area, and you guys meet in the FCAC, you meet in the CIAC final. So that's been what's been happening lately.
Yeah, and it's changed. I mean, we really took care of Ridgefield last year. I mean, it was 10-0. They played Darien last night and they only lost 3-0. New Canaan played Ludlow the other night and lost in overtime. So everything is, it's been a lot tighter. And I think it lends itself to a really, really competitive and interesting season.
It's going to be fun, right? I mean, you want to be part of those games. I mean, as much as we like those 10-0 games, I mean, maybe as you as a coach, you like those 10-0 games. Us fans and covering, we love that close encounter, especially when you come out on top.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one goal games, two goal games. Yeah. It's what happens towards the end of the season, for sure, in the playoffs.
Yeah. And so, as this year goes along, we're going to be out there covering. And, you know, your program's been so successful over the years. It's been great. I mean, the girls, you know, every time we talk to them, how excited they are about everything. Anything that you think is the key to the success over all these years, aside from the great players?
Yeah, I mean, that obviously helps. I think it's the fun factor. I mean, you've got to enjoy it before you get any result. You have to enjoy what's happening. You know, I want my kids to come down from school having, you know, had a really tough day in school in a subject that they don't particularly like, but they've got a graft at, to come down to the field, see their buddies and have fun. if you can get that and they buy into what you're doing, then that's half the battle. So over the years, I think that's what I've tried to instill is the enjoyment factor. I think it's worked out. I like to have fun on the field, joke around, see if they get my English humor, which they often don't. And then you just take it from there, you know, and everybody will buy into it, and we'll have fun when we need to, and then we'll get serious when we need to. But overall, it's the enjoyment factor.
Listen, so excited by the season. No, you know, be there soon. It's going to be a lot of fun, Coach. Thanks so much for coming on the show today. Best of luck on the season. And again, congrats on the big achievement of coaching the World Cup. We'll follow it, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.